Okay, we're up.
Hi, Bob and Tom. Okay, so there are a few things that actually I think people were talking about some of these things.
Yes,
also.
Definitely.
So it's kind of important questions.
The first one we didn't ask.
The first one was just,
yeah.
I thought I saw this question come up, and so I thought, well, that sounds like quite interesting. So the first question is, like we said right at the beginning, that you have to put something into the waters, right? So like, I don't know what it was, but something like really bitter, a bit of herb, I don't know whatever it is, yeah? So I saw the Nairi kind of deals with the fact that, well, when people say that, you know, you're kind of like putting poison in, like, you know, they'll say, ah, now I understand what's going on, you know? So the Nairi comes to kind of dispel that. So that's number one. He says, right? So there was a number of Talmidim who were like, wow, I can't believe you're doing that kind of thing, yeah? How is there maybe lachshod? You know, surely people are going to think, oh, this is a whole trick. You know, this is nothing to do with, you know, something miraculous from Hashem's name. So he says, b'chuli, but ain't a klum, and but says Mary, don't worry about this at all. All right, chari afhi makeres osam hadavarim she'ein palasam litzbos beten and impil yerech. Right, because everyone knows that, you know, just putting in a bit of herb, it's not going to cause like her to completely explode into, you know, the way in which it happens if she's guilty is just like, you know, like, we know explosions going off.
It's not
just a bit of herb, you know, it could cause like someone to have like a crazy tummy cake and into, but it's not gonna well exactly I was just thinking exactly apart from like texts, but they didn't, you know, yeah, well exactly.
or a beeper.
Right, hey Nasan, especially given that it's like going to be like this kind of immediate thing, the waters go in and like explode, yeah. The odd, and he brings a second kind of point as to why this shouldn't be a problem, right? And even if people would somehow think, oh yeah, it's because of something bitter in, yeah, all right. Mashem pogim ba'osish is inta. The fact that it's going to cause suspicion, but you know, you see, you do the same procedure, and one woman, she's going to explode. So zinta, so you say, oh, it's because of the bitter thing, yeah, that I saw you put in. But ota mashbia b'taira. But then the same other woman, who's that it followed the same procedure, yeah. And she's going to be absolutely fine, yeah, if she's tall, right? In fact, she's going to be very healthy and she's going to have children and so on and so forth. So it's going to show it's obviously not some kind of crazy poison, explosive poison that you're putting in. So the Miri says, don't worry about that, basically, Sachakol. Okay, next one, number two, yeah? This is actually quite a kind of technical point that myself and my Chavrusa were bothered by, right? The Mishnah says, Nimcha Megillah v'Amra Tamei Ani. Right, so she says, I'm tamei, yeah? Hamayim nishbachim b'minchasa nispazeres, yeah? So the waters get thrown away, yeah? And the mincha gets dispersed. So what we were bothered by is, yeah, we're going to end up saying that this actually goes all according to kind of Rabbi Akiva. Now, according to kind of Rabbi Akiva, the order is, yeah, that first of all you bring the mincha, and then you dissolve the waters, right? And Rabbi Shimon as well, yeah? So what we were bothered, what does it mean the mincha gets kind of discarded? I mean, surely it's already been brought. Right? So that was something that was kind of bothering us, mm-hmm. Yeah? So the Tosfos Rosh...
Is there any
expectation
that the mincha has already been brought?
Yeah. Yeah. If you always leave the dissolving for the last point, right? So if we know that the parchment's been dissolved and she says, you know, I'm tamei, or I don't want to drink, you know, and it's equivalent to saying I'm tamei, whatever it is, yeah? But we then can say it gets discarded, yeah? So at that point, the mincha's been brought. So what does it mean the mincha has to be put on the base of Deshen? I mean, it's already been kind of offered up, yeah? According to Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel, yeah. Which will end up saying the Mishnah is like.
Rabbi Shimon.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Akiva, which we say the Mishnah goes like, right? We thought a different answer, maybe you also, I don't know, but the Tosfos Rosh says the following answer. He says, V'sarech lomar, shelo kedin emchot kodem haktara. In Achanami, the whole Mishnah is talking about what something that we mentioned last week, which is that actually, according to Rabbi Akiva, you can dissolve the thing in the wrong order, and it's still kind of valid.
Yes.
Yeah. You're meant to. If you do it in the wrong order, you're still meant to bring the korban, and then kind of she drinks. Yeah. Because according to Rabbi Akiva, I mean, it should be that you only do it, but even. The ideal order is you bring the korban, then you dissolve, then she drinks, according to Rabbi Akiva. But the point is you could dissolve incorrectly first, and it's still a kind of a valid dissolving. Oh. So basically, you dissolved incorrectly, and then she says tamea, right? And at that stage, you haven't yet brought the Corbin, and therefore that's what the Mishnah ends up, according to Tosafos Rosh, talking about. Okay, now this Gil was bothered by. Yeah, it was really interesting because it's Yerushalmi, by the way. Yeah. So it says, Ein maspekas lishtos ad shepaneha marikus. Yeah. It sounds like, yeah, she hasn't finished drinking and then her face is going to go green and she's going to explode, basically. Yeah. So it's a bit strange because it sounds like she hasn't even, like, drunk the whole thing. Right? So that's the question. And by the way, actually, I have to say, Gil, I saw some Akhorinim ask it exactly the way you asked it. It was interesting. Based on the fact that there is a din later on that if some gets spilt out, yeah, there's a question as to whether that's valid or not. Mm-hmm. So some say, well, that sounds like from there it has to be you drink everything.
And they fall.
Yeah. So some actually ask it that way. But so there's this Yerushalmi, yeah, that itself kind of it brings the Mishnah and then it asks on it the following, yeah. So this is the first part, although it's hard to read the Yerushalmi, it's hard to read. But it says, below came Sabasan Mema Kulchon below Miksasan. Like, don't you hold that you have to drink all of it and not just a bit of it, right? This is all based on the Pnei Moshe that's on the Yerushalmi. So he asked the question, like the Yerushalmi itself, the Gemara and Yerushalmi asked that question. Shh, and it says, Ki inish da ama lo ifsik palan le mishde ad de ischal chel. Right? So it says, it's like the way people speak, yeah? A person, like, hadn't yet finished doing something until it happened, yeah? Which means, yeah, I mean, the Pnei Moshe explains it, that the way that they say that is, yeah? It's an expression which means immediately after it finished, the next thing happened. Yeah.
So like I said, Gil.
Oh. So it's kind of like doesn't mean literally. Yeah. Ain't a maspek. It hadn't yet finished. It meant like just kind of expressive use. Yeah. Just literally, mama should finish drinking. Bang. Yeah. And it kind of. I was bothered by the next one. Yeah? I think other people were as well. In the Mishnah, it says, yeah, the fact that Sechus Tolaba, right? So Ben Azeh said, well, in that case, you have to teach your daughter Torah, yeah,
right.
You know, so she should know, yeah, that Sechus Tolaba. And like, I was bothered by, wait a sec, like, you're going to really worry that your daughter's a Sota, like, oh, you know, I have to teach you Torah because you kind of, you know, because like, you might end up being a Sota. It's like a bit kind of pessimistic. It's an interesting reason for teaching Torah. So Tiferes Yisrael addresses this, and he says, "Hachi kama." This is what it means, yeah. In tishta sota achas, and it's talking about another. I.e., if she sees another sota drinking, yeah, if may be so, in front of your daughter, teda habas, your daughter should know sechus tola lahasota, right? So it's more that you know she won't get misled. And Rabbi Yashiv also says that, although he says the second pshat is the normal pshat that we said that you know she shouldn't kind of have. Kind of think that she's not going to get punished, even if she is a sota. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But anyway, at least that first shot helps for people who are a bit worried about why you're thinking your daughter's a sota. Okay.
Thank you, sir.
And the next one I thought was really interesting because I was also a little bit thinking about this. Yeah, the whole story of Reb Meir with Reb Shmuel. Yeah. So Reb Shmuel didn't like him using this kind of indelible ink, right? And why didn't he like it? Because he said, like, it says that, you know, the Parsha Sota, you know, it says it has to be able to be something that can be dissolved. Yeah? So kind of when I read that, it sounded to me like, well, it sounds like he doesn't like you using it at all when you're writing the Sefer Torah. Yeah? It sounds like Rabbi Shmuel, like, had an objection to using it generally. Yeah? Don't use kantum. Yeah? But really, it seems to be that, well, yeah, but it's just a Parsha Sota, which is like one tiny Parsha, like, so why? What's the problem with using it? So just use it like Rabbi Shmuel should have said. Yeah, it's great you're using that. Just you know, make sure that little parsha you don't use it for. Right? That was kind of something I don't know that was bothering. That was bothering me. But basically, what it comes out is from here. There's actually a machlokes and Rishonim what Rabbi Shmuel was saying you can't use it for. Right? So let's have a look. So the first thing I brought was, and I think this is kind of probably more where Rashi is coming from, is later on it's a bit more mefurish, yeah? Because later on there's another machlokes tanaim. So let's look at, I just brought it here, Netanya, yeah? So Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Remeir Haya Omer, Lekol Matilim Kankantum, Chutz Miparsha Sota, this should say, Rabbi Yaakov Omer, Mishmo, Chutz Miparsha Sota Shibbe Mikdash. So both of them talk about Sota. Right? Mm-hmm. It's just the first opinion is Parsha Sota, and the second opinion is Sota Shibbe Mikdash. Right. So according to this, yeah, one is the Sota Klaf, and one is Mamash in the Sefer Torah, the Parsha Sota, and that's Lechora Ul. Yeah? So that kind of is clear, right? So we know there is opinion that seems to be saying the only problem in the Sefer Torah will be Parsha Sota. Now, I think based on that, going backwards, when we looked at that story of Rabbi Shmuel, yeah? Mm. So Rashi, if you look at his Perush, he says, yeah, V'Rabbi Shmuel Sava Mokim Lamina Torah, V'Lo Boi Kesiv Lishma, right? But Aparsha Sota L'Chuda Kakapit. So Rashi Mefurish says, yeah, kind of, I suppose this is the simple shot, and it kind of, because it aligns with what we're going to say later. In Achanami, Rabbi Shmuel was just concerned in Kamtantum about just Parsha Sota, yeah? So, and that would make sense. But what I brought here was, I won't read it inside, I'll just tell you, yeah? But you can see it inside itself. Tosfos in Erevin doesn't say that way. It says like I was originally thinking, yeah? That actually, yeah, that Rabbi Shmuel, it sounds like he's got a problem bichlal in writing a Sefer Torah with Kamtantum, yeah? And he basically says he thinks it's some kind of din, maybe Gezeirah Shavah or din to Rabbanon, yeah? Yeah, that since there's that in Hanami, the limit is on Parsha Sota, and there's some kind of other din that would learn it across to the rest of the Sefer Torah. But I'm just kind of pointing out that the thing then that comes out from Tosfos is you then have three Tanakh opinions. So, I mean, so although it kind of, I think it's more Pashut in Rabbi Shmuel because it sounds like Rabbi Shmuel had a problem with Kankantum across the Sefer Torah. But they'll end up being, since we see the Brisa later, there is then opinion that it's just Parsha Sota. If you want to say Rabbi Shmuel had some kind of extra limit that it's the whole Sefer Torah, then you have three opinions. You've got Rabbi Shmuel that kind of says you can't use Kankantum for the whole Sefer Torah. You've got this first opinion in the Brisa, yeah, which is Rabbi Huda, that says you can't use it just for Parsha Sota. And then you've got another opinion that says that, no, it's fine in the Sefer Torah, Parsha Sota. The only problem is the cloth of the Sota. So anyway, that's an interesting har on that Tosfos. Okay, the very last one here. So it says, Rabbi Shmuel, right? This is the toast of this you want to, so if you want to see inside, yeah? This is an interesting toast of this. Riyadh suggested that I read it, and I think it is pretty interesting. I'm just taking an excerpt from this. On Kaf Amid Aleph, the second toast was down. So I'm just kind of taking an excerpt from here, yeah? So it says, Amo Rabbi Yirmiyah, Limchok La, right, Minha Torah, Ik Benayhu, yeah? So the difference here between the two shitas, yeah, is can you, like we were saying before, can you erase from the Sefer Torah or not? Yeah. So if basically you say no, it's just Parsha Sota Shebe Mikdash, that means that you can't erase from the Sefer Torah. That was like the Nafka Muna we brought. Mm-hmm. So basically, Tosfos here, what he's bothered by is this whole concept of, well, how bichlal can you use from the Sefer Torah? So I'm going to kind of pick up from, you can look at the sheet or inside the sheet, from kind of a bit of the way through. So he says, right? So what he's bothered by is the fact that the general klal is, yeah, that you can only write after she's accepted the parchment that you're going to dissolve after she's accepted the shvuas. So the problem is, if you're taking a Sefer Torah from like the Aron, yeah, I mean that was probably written years ago, whatever, yeah. So how are you going to fit that criteria? We saw before that there's it was one of the things which says for Acha Yashka, it says it has to be, yeah. After you only write after that, you know, you've accepted the shavuos, that you only drink after you accept the shavuos, and we say, well, that's it's, but wait a sec, surely it has to be that you only write after you accept the shavuos. So the whole parsha says very clearly, you take the shavuos, and then it says, and you write the parchment for the sota, and that's the thing you have to dissolve. So, how's it going to work in the Sefer Torah in the Aron? No, I think there is a difference in terms of lishma and things like that. But the writing, yeah.
That kills. Thanks, bro.
It seems to be from there. We said no, it's kasha. The writing you can only write it after she's taken the shvur. Yeah. So it says to the Tosfos, but Od Harma rather, he quotes this Megillah Sota shkatz v'kodim shtkabel lehav shvur lo asa v'lo klum. It's not valid. Yeah, at all. Yeah. So in Cain, right, my time demama mokim la minatora. So how on earth, how could this work? Yeah, right. Yeah, it has to be that it's written after she's accepted the shavua, right? Velekalameima, and don't tell me manda ama mokim la minatora leis la de rabba. So maybe you'll just say the simple answer. Well, yeah, what we said that was in the name of rabba. This opinion doesn't hold by that. Yeah. So he said that in Cain, amai ama the Rab Shimon. But why did we say the Rab Shimon el? This is where we said it. Kedei nospa. Remember, we said there was three different things, yeah? And one of them was, yeah, to say the Acha Yashka has to be after the Shavua. And we said, no, because everyone knows, yeah, right, that it has to, they can't even be written after the Shavua. So why are you telling me, yeah, that you can only drink after you've taken the Shavua? It's kind of pasha, yeah? And we said, no, Kedei nospa, right? So what Tosfos pointed out, Gishmak point, he's saying, well, listen, if there was any opinion that disagreed with it, it was, let's say it was machlokas somehow, and we saw that this Tana disagrees, because the Tana says you can dissolve the Sefer Torah, would say, no, you don't need it to be written for the Shavuot. So in that case, it's not Kadei Nosfa. At least you need to teach it, yeah? It's not the Devar, Kadei Nosfa meant, no, it's obvious, yeah? Because then no one could argue, because everyone holds, yeah, that it has to be, right? That it can only be written after the Shavuot. But if there's at least one, just you need one opinion that doesn't hold by that, and all of a sudden we're back into play, that Achayashka maybe is teaching, you know, a Chiddush, even that opinion would say, yeah, that no, that even, you know, a Sefer Torah, fine, yeah, but it has to be Achayashka, it has to be after you've, you know, taken the Shavuot, yeah, that you drink, yeah, at least.
But writing, yeah, is not a problem.
Yeah, writing may not be a problem, but at least, you know, Achayashka, yeah, it has to be that you, she's taking the Shavuot before she actually drinks,
right,
at least according to that opinion. But we don't say that. We say Kadei Nosper, which means no, cut it out. Yeah, in Hanami, and there's no other opinion that would be brought. So Leimalei Leislei Deraba. So why don't we say that? So Ela Hachi Mashma, right? Daba Deraba Kuliyama Moda. Everyone has to agree with Rabba. So now we're back to our problem. But Ikalameima. So we'll answer Mandam Mochelam in HaTorah Kigon. Right? Im Nichta Ba'osa Parsha B'Torah La'acha Shekabla Leha Shavua. So Al Kocha is going to be an amazing Akimta, yeah? Mm-hmm. You've got like a sofa standing there, right? Literally like, you know, in the base of Mikdash precincts, yeah? And there's a sota, and like, you know, she's kind of, you know, she's taking the Shavua, and immediately she's taking the Shavua, and he finishes off writing that Parsha Sota, I guess. Maybe he's kind of left that house and he's written the rest of it. You know, I found that when I was doing, I did a Ksiva Sefer Torah. I think, you know, can write not in order for a Sefer Torah, unlike other parchments, yeah? So I get, because, you know, I guess otherwise that's the only way to do it, yeah? That's what we're talking about, right? But then you have to say an added Chiddush, yeah? Because the whole Chiddush here was, yeah, that a Sefer Torah is not written for the Sota.
Right.
So it's funny, he's waiting there, he's listening, and oh, she's accepted Shavua. Wow. Oh, yeah, I just happened to leave out this Parsha. Reminds me of that. I meant to write that in. And then someone said, oh, no Parsha. Has anyone got Parsha? Oh, I've just written it. So anyway, so it ends up being just a bit of a fantastic kinder. But, you know, it reminds me of, like, you know, that whole story about, you know, kind of people asking, like, you know, kind of, what do you mean, how could this ever happen? So the answer is, in Torah, anything can happen. Yeah, but that's the answer thing.
So when they had the Bashi Sefer Torah, which was written after Sefer,
I hear what you're saying. Yeah, actually, I'm making an assumption that the whole Sefer Torah was written. You're right, mate. It doesn't need to be the whole Sefer Torah. Yeah, take back some of the crazy things that I was saying.
It'd be easier.
He was writing it, and he got up to Parsha Sota.
Could be.
I made it a bit more extreme. You're right. You're right. Okay, go ahead. Sorry, Ari?
What's up?
Right. Gil, Ari says the Gemara is talking about a whole Sefer Torah.
In the source of I must have done 2.5 hours.
Right. You're agreeing. If it's not completed, it should be okay. Yeah. I think it should be okay. Square.
Dvalik.
Okay.
I wanted to say this before, but I didn't want to in,